Item number 27, this discussion only, no possible action will be taken. Workshop discussion only, no possible action. Discussion consideration, general direction to staff for Commissioner Mitchell's request to consider decreasing certain base business license fees and home-based business license fees countywide. This is a first. Commissioner Mitchell?
Thank you. Should I do it from here? You want me to go up to the podium? Is this fine?
Oh, wherever you feel.
All right. Actually, I have a couple of things on my laptop, so I think it may be a little easier to work from here. So before we dive into this item, I certainly appreciate the commission and staff and everyone taking the time to consider this. And I do want to disclose to make sure that we're doing everything properly from an ethical perspective. I do hold a business license in Story County for a home-based business. And so the outcome of this discussion would potentially affect me. However, under the NRS statute 281A.420, which outlines ethical standards, it does point out that unless a proposal would create an undue advantage to a public officer, then such consideration is not prohibited. And so as I would be affected the same, not more or less than any other holder of a business license, I'm comfortable bringing up this discussion and feel that we're on sound ethical footing from that perspective. So with that in mind, let me just give a little bit of background about, if you'll indulge me just a moment to kind of tell the story. So my oldest son, who's now almost 15, I think he was 9 at the time, and he was looking for a way to make some money. And so he said, I think I want to do a lemonade stand and sell lemonade or Gatorade or whatever. And trying to be a good father, I said, you know, we probably should do this right. Let's look at getting you a business license. And we went online, and a home-based business license for the first year is $175. It's $100 plus a $75 application fee. And it became pretty clear that if he went that route, he wouldn't make anything. And it was kind of a waste of time. And so I got to thinking about it, and I got to thinking about some of my other past experiences. Now, I'm a refugee from the People's Republic of California. But one of the good things about the town that I lived in there was there was just a $20 a year business registration fee as the basic fee for business licenses. And I might point out, I think in some ways in Nevada, we believe that we're more business friendly than we actually are. The only businesses required to have a state business license there were those specifically regulated under the state. And so I was able to conduct business with no state business license and with a $20 fee to the city, the county, the town that I lived in. So I got to thinking a little bit about our business license structure. And my thought was to consider whether it made sense for us to look at dropping the basic fee for a business, for a general business license and for home-based businesses. Now, the way that our license fees are structured is we have add-ons for privileged licenses. We have add-ons for additional square footage. We have add-ons for additional employees. And I think those all may be appropriate to leave as they are. We also require a business license for a business coming into the county from outside the county to do business. And I don't have any problem leaving the fee where it is for those businesses. But I really feel like there may be some merit in looking at lowering the basic business license fees for businesses just starting, basic business, home businesses, for those that are located here in the county. And there are a couple reasons for that. The first one is that I feel like lowering the barrier to entry for home-based or hobby businesses, it would encourage more entrepreneurs to become official, to come out of the shadows, if you will, to purchase a business license. And as a result, I feel like that would also mitigate any lower revenue or a portion of whatever our revenue going down. Some of that would come back by people who right now say, I'm not going to get a business license, but really they should. The second thing is that really it's a benefit to anyone who chooses to locate their business here in Story County. And I believe that, that kind of leads into another kind of philosophical thought that I had about it. And we're certainly not talking about large amounts of money here, but $100 is $100. And I think that symbolically lowering the fee for small businesses would show that we are as business friendly for the little guy, as we are to the larger corporations that are part of our business community that have been extended tax advantages at the state level. And so so that really is kind of the impetus for me bringing this up and if to see if there's an appetite among the commission to instruct staff to look into it further. Staff has already done a bit of research, and really from the basic business license fees, again, a general license being $75, a home-based business being $100. And I'm not sure exactly why a home-based business is charged more. Have not found a specific reason for that yet. And then there are a few kind of outliers that are slightly more. So for example, the basic fee for a massage or therapy business is $135 a year. For mining, it's $475 a year. But really what we're looking at is in the range of $40,000 a year that the county collects from these basic license fees. When you look at the overall county budget, it's a pretty small portion of our revenue. And I've been thinking a lot about how we've become somewhat asymmetrical in our revenue versus our expenses. And what I mean by that is the economic activity out at the business park leads to a lot of tax revenue for us. That's not necessarily a direct relation to where our expenses are in the services that we provide. And so I think that an acknowledgement of that is that we don't necessarily need to pay for the services with the activity that's being done as much as we may have in the past. And maybe time to look at going through and saying, are we doing something because we have traditionally done it, not because that reflects our current reality? So that's really my thinking on it. And I'd be happy to hear what my fellow commissioners have to say, and if there's public input as well. I've had some public input where people say lower fees are always better, not a surprising position. But I guess that's what I'd like to bring for the board to for discussion.
Mr. Gillen?
So would it be a fair question to ask that you're focused more on the home-based business than you are revisiting the entire business license program? The home-based businesses might be a focus. At least that's where you started.
So certainly that was where I started because it affected me most directly. But to put it in context, you know, we have about as far as a general business license, so not a home-based business, but just paying that kind of general license fee. We have 121 outside of the Virginia City Gold Hill area and about 98 within the Virginia City Gold Hill area that are paying that general fee. And so my focus is on kind of that basic barrier to entry. Now, I don't know how many of those have add-ons for other things, but certainly some of our merchants are small businesses, and that is the totality of the business license fee that they pay. And so I would like to see if an examination of both home-based businesses and that basic fee for any business that's here in the county. Not necessarily looking at any of the other add-ons or privilege licenses.
I understand. Do you have a feel for, of the business license categories, so many of the business licenses are not residents of Story County? So I don't have the research, so I've just got to kind of noodle on this thing. But so I've been here for the last more or less 12 years, and there are two commission meetings a month. And starting a few years ago, and I can't tell you whether it's 3, 5, or 7, we started approving business licenses in the category of 10 to 15 a meeting. And I'm not sure whether it'd be any more. I don't think it's less. And the majority of those business licenses are not Story County residents, I believe. And I'm shooting from the hip here. I just have no way to know. But I'd be curious as to, and let me circle back another, just for sake of conversation. I have been, along with other board members in the past, strong proponents for trying to come up with a vehicle which allow, would allow us to share with Torrey County residents the profitability that we're enjoying in the county today. And it's significant. And probably it's even preliminarily in its infant state. It's going to grow bigger, faster, soon, as everything kind of comes online. So there's been an appetite for a bunch of us to figure out, and I can tell you past commissioners, on how we can share that with Story County residents. And just by way of a historical look back, we ran into trouble because we couldn't single out specific resident classes. So for example, if we wanted to abate property tax across the board for residents, it turns out that we couldn't do that just for residents. We had to do it for all the businesses and everybody in the county. And so every turn we made trying to find that vehicle, we ran into some kind of a sidebar issue, if you will. So from my perspective, I've been looking, and I commend you for looking at this. I mean, from my perspective, I've been looking on how to give back to our Story County residents for my entire time sitting in this chair. And so I'm glad you're looking at that, and I'm glad that has some possibility. I'm certainly in favor of including our residents in the prosperity and the success that our county is enjoying. I question at this point, if I just think about the business license category for sake of conversation, is $75 across the board for all these licenses is not a significant amount of money in a year's business life. And I don't eliminate Stan perhaps, but the majority of businesses in on C Street certainly are not going to change their life or quality of life for $75 a year. So I think that certainly symbolically, it would say something if this commission were to figure out how to give back to residents of Story County. I don't know that I see the value of giving back to business licenses in Story County, because I believe that there's a large percentage that don't live here. They aren't residents of our county. And I'm not sure how you single those out one way or the other. But on a second sidebar issue from my perspective, and I've just been thinking about this very recently, so thank you for bringing it to this workshop. But there has been philosophically the idea that there's the death of a thousand cuts. And what I mean by that is that we really are on a fence here. We have to watch our budgets. We have to watch our revenues. $40,000 doesn't seem like a lot, but it's offsetting a lot of county costs just to operate something that's a paper pushing thing. You got to do the license. You got to put it back. And so we're going to have to do that one way or the other. And so $40,000 is measurable within our budget cycle. And especially as our business, I noted, for example, we're going to approve 11 new business licenses today. Just today. And so there's certainly a cost factor that goes into doing all of that. And so I offset giving back to residents. And are we, if we actually amend and go through and revisit our business license process? One of the things that strikes me, Clay, is that, and I don't know the answer to this. I suspect some of our staff does, but as a board, I don't remember ever in the last 12 years, raising Story County residential taxes. I don't believe we have. And so being fiscally responsible and sensitive to everybody that lives in this county, we're really controlling our appetite for increasing their property taxes and other taxes. And we're doing that. I really evaluate that as a give back. You know, all around us, all the other counties are raising their property taxes because they have to keep pace with the increasing cost of running the county. So in a small way, I don't see this as large. I see it symbolic. I think the commission, in my opinion, could take the position and yeah, but I think we ought to really look down the line about how many residents are we actually improving their lives. And again, $75 is not going to change anybody's life a year. So those are just random thoughts, if you will, as we discuss this.
Thank you. I have some responses, but
sure.
Yeah.
I'm happy to wait until.
I obviously can get behind anything that is under the premise that we are giving back to the community. My question would be the same as Commissioner Gilman's, as how many, and I don't know the legality, obviously if it's a home-based business, the answer is they live here, done. That I support, or I could get behind. The other businesses that don't live in the county, I would have a harder time getting behind supporting something like that. I understand, and I heard your logic, if there is any way that we can give back to the community in one way, shape, or form, whether it is symbolic or not, I think that's, obviously a noble thing to do. But I guess the magic question is, can we just single out the home-based businesses? If we can, what number are we talking about? And, because obviously the home-based businesses, I think, are they require a lot less county services. So, not that $100 is going to cover, a fire inspection or anything of that nature, if need be. But, I think they definitely require a little less from the county. So I think, as far as any sort of financial impact, I think those would be minimal. But again, I know that there are some numbers prepared, so maybe that will help answer some of the questions that Commissioner Gilman and I have. So that's kind of my two cents for the moment.
Great, thank you. Yeah, so, and those are all great points. And actually the give back efforts, were really one of the things that prompted me to look into this. Because while it is minimal, it's not life-changing, and by any stretch of the imagination, I saw it, the idea of a death of 1,000 cuts worked both ways. And both when we're looking at preserving enough revenue to provide essential services, but also on the side of someone who's looking to operate a small business. And I saw it as a very concrete way, potentially. I also realized the struggles, for example, with the Department of Taxation not being allowed to segregate out different categories. And I don't know, and that's something we need to look into, if I'm going to put home-based businesses aside because it sounds like we're fairly much on the same page there. My feeling for others that have a general business license, I was hoping that whether they live here or not, if their business is domiciled here in the county, that they be considered under that. If you look at the businesses, and I believe there should be a way for us to tell that fairly easily, because an address is given, and the address is either in the county or out of the county. And so, for example, a merchant on C Street is definitely an in-county business, whether the owner lives here or not. This is the location of their business. A food truck serving the business park is based elsewhere based on their application, but doing business within the county. Now, is it legal for us to have a different rate structure for a general business license for those in county versus out of county? I don't know. And so that's certainly something that we would need to look at. I am not advocating lowering it for all businesses that have a general license. And I could be wrong, but my understanding is the numbers that I gave you, 121 and then 98 in Virginia City in 98 and the rest of the county, 121. I could be wrong, but I believe those reflect those that are domiciled here in the county. And you can correct me if I'm wrong on that. I would be, maybe that's the total number of general business licenses that we have. And so if it's substantially less than that, the impact would also be substantially less. We're not talking about eliminating $40,000 out of the budget. It would only be applied to those businesses that are within the county. As far as home-based businesses, we have those numbers as well. There are 36 in the Virginia City Gold Hill area, and there are 47 in the rest of the county. Now, there are a few others. For example, there are some that are called out as being a home-based sheriff. And the reason I believe they're called out is because it's a license that requires some involvement from the sheriff's office, like the one that we consider today, a firearms-based business. And so there are a few of those as well. There are four, and I believe it's just four. And so the numbers are fairly small for home-based businesses, and we need some.
So just the math that I say, if we're talking about less than $5,000 and $100 a business.
For home-based?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3,600 and, well, about 10,000, let's say. Yeah, 47 in the rest of the county and 36 here in town. So 3,600 and 4,700.
Right. $5,000 or less.
5 to 10, yeah.
You know, I the thing that I would float is, Clay, as a commissioner, I don't mind putting my name on and behind for the good of the residents of Story County. I wouldn't want to be put in the category that I'm anything but favorable to the residents of Story County. Mm-hmm. But there are some major things that we can focus on as a commission here that really would dramatically improve the quality of life for them. And so I'm certainly not opposed to this,
right.
But financially it's not even measurable.
Fairly
so, material. You know, symbolic is what I would call it.
Yeah.
And so if we all want to get behind symbolism, that's
well,
but there's extenuating circumstances to amending our business license categories and programs. And so I think I'd have to ask staff, I need to, and from a legal standpoint, what are we really talking about doing in here? Can we completely readjust that basis and then how we're going to manage and administer it, and what's that going to cost us? So I think there's some outstanding fundamental organizational issues that
sure.
We probably ought to discuss at a future date.
Absolutely. And I'd like to address the symbolic piece of it because one of the things that I'm very conscious of is our brand. And really, for a small county like us, I believe it's probably more important than a lot of other places. And curating that carefully.
You're preaching to the choir.
Is important. I know it's not news to you. With that in mind, I know that our general plan calls for a lot of our growth to be infill growth, that we have established priorities for new residents, that we're looking for a diverse community, that we don't want our communities to become monolithic as you know, just one type of person living here. And with the events of the last 2 years and people reevaluating where they can live, potentially working remotely, it's why the work that Commissioner Carmona is doing on high-speed internet access is so crucial. Because it opens us up to becoming home for young entrepreneurs that are maybe working from home. And I see this as another step in that direction, where we're able to then market the value proposition is quick and easy to get through, getting a business license. You know, it's just one step in that chain of potentially setting us up as being the type of place where, because a person doing that type of work does not necessarily require a lot of services from the county, but it gives us an opportunity to attract some sharp young minds, if you will, to become part of our community and contribute to its future success. I also will point out, and this is just anecdotal, but I'll give you an example of a resident who lives here and recently started a business with sauces, homemade sauces and these kind of things. And this is an example of kind of a fun home-based business, but again, getting started, and he's doing it right. You know, a county-based business license that's $175 the first year, a state business license at $200 a year. You know, you're starting to stack up some pretty substantial costs before you've even made it. You've even made a cent. And again, not life-changing, but for someone who's retired, making a little extra income on the side, I believe that adding one more barrier, and again, symbolic, is it has an effect to restrict or to slow down people who have an idea to create something that's homegrown, home-based. I feel as well as we're dealing with supply chain issues, encouraging home-based, homegrown, localized economy makes a lot of sense as well. So again, we're spending a lot of time on something that has very little financial impact in the grand scheme of things, but I certainly appreciate you taking the time to consider it.
So my question obviously is to you, Vice Chair, or anybody from staff that may know this answer. And I'm going to preface it by saying I'm not looking to necessarily just copy what other counties are doing, but do other counties do something like this?
that we're aware of? Do they do maybe a reduced fee for home-based businesses? Like, are we, you know, sort of following the pack? Are we on the high end? Have we looked into that?
It's a great question, and I haven't. I guess my question would be, it sounds like we're discussing it as if it's an additive program. And my hope is that it's not, that it's literally an adjustment to a fee schedule.
Right.
So I'm not looking to recreate anything, any new bureaucracy, but if it's possible to look at simply reducing fees. My second point would be, it would be worth it certainly for us to look at what others are doing. That being said, I'm not striving for mediocrity. My feeling is it would be okay for us to stand out from what others are doing in this regard. We certainly did not do what everyone else did with TRI. And I say we, and I'm not trying to take credit for what others have done. I've inherited some part of that. It was not my work. But that to me was very innovative. And it was potentially going against the grain. And so my feeling is, if we're satisfied that it's in the best interest of the county, that legally there are no issues with it, that philosophically we feel it's the right thing to do, I don't feel that we're restrained by what other governments are doing, simply because it's not in line with what's normal.
Yeah, no, and that's not my push. But, you know, in discussion, to me, it's good to know, hey, you know, we are the first county that is looking at doing something like this. Or, you know what, this is something that's done across the board. Maybe we need to get on this wagon, you know, or a selling feature of some sort that, you know, not that we have any problems getting residents, but to me, it's always good to know what is out there. 100%. Not for the sake of, you know, well, Sparks isn't doing it. Like I referenced in the sign ordinance, I definitely wasn't leaning towards, hey, Sparks, it's a free for all. We should be a free for all, but it's important that people understand what our neighboring communities are doing. And maybe it is an advantage for Story County that, you know, we are taking an approach slightly different to home-based businesses. So that really is the point of my question, to find out, you know, is this a brand new idea? Is this something that, you know, maybe other counties are doing? And if they aren't, then obviously I think it's something that we can add on our wall of badges that, you know, Story County is yet a leader in forward thinking, you know? So,
Mr. Chairman, a question I would have is that with Keith sitting down at the far end there and not asking a question of today, because of what I've run into in the past in looking to share revenue and opportunities for our residents, is really, let's look at the legality of reorganizing our business license program, and can we have different classes of business license and resident versus non-resident, and et cetera. And what are the legalities of that? And would it be worthwhile, Keith, having a brief executive review of that before we move further?
I think it would be worthwhile, yes. And it's not one I can give you today.
What?
Could be a dead end very quickly.
Google, it's instant, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, that would be good for me. I think I'd like to start there first. And the other question that I'd have is, of all the business license categories, it really would be important to me personally, do they live in the county? And are we assisting our residential base, or, and maybe it's not as important to be assisting business licenses generally, if they're not a resident of the county. So those are the two questions that I'd be interested in.
Do we maybe go to public comment?
Sure.
And see, before we give any more recommendations to staff.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? As a reminder, star 6 to unmute yourself, or you can use the raise your hand feature, or you can walk up to the podium, state your name for the record.
Jerry Antonoro, for the record. I can see both sides of this, and I give you a little bit of different perspective, maybe. I have a home-based license, and as has been pointed out, spend several hundreds of dollars a year between the Secretary of State, state licensing and taxation, and then the county. So the one point of that is in all the time of having a home business license with Story County, I don't know that anybody from Story County has ever picked up the phone and asked anything. Sirens are.
Just drag. Long tail.
Maybe the county manager should fix this.
Right?
Change it to a klaxon alarm. And that's done.
All right, sure.
All right. So, as I was saying, I don't know that anybody from the county has ever picked up the phone and called to check any of the other requirements for my license. Definitely nobody has ever come to my place to do any kind of inspections, whether it was fire department or anything else. So, yes, there's a lot less onus on the county when it comes to that. So, personally, I have issue with the fact that I had to pay $175 to get a piece of paper, and then I have to pay that $75 every year just to get a piece of paper that says I can do business, when I could do all of those same things because there's a dozen people in the county who are doing that. Only difference is people don't go making complaints against them all the time as they do the sheriff. So just to be a little bit different manner. And what they're doing is legal in the manner that they're doing it. Mine's just a little bit different of a take, but still, it's $175 to start, $75 a year, just to have a piece of paper from Story County when I get zero, except tax bills. Now, there's a whole lot of stuff when it comes to home-based businesses, and keep in mind, my thing, this is only applying to home-based businesses, stick and mortar, brick and mortar, all these things, they do have to have the fire inspections and the different code inspections, stuff like that, so it's just home-based business. But there are so many particulars that go into it, as been pointed out, the license we approved today, home-based business, we had to do a lot of research and things into that because of the specialty aspects of it. Now, go to your specific example, Commissioner. It's not as simple as just having a business license, home-based business, for your kid to sell lemonade. Because if you really wanted to do it legal, you got to have a health department permit too, and it's subject to inspection by the health department. The barbecue sauce thing that you talked about, we've got businesses that have home-based businesses that have that. You have to have a cottage industry license. So there's lots of other components to it. So yes, if we're reducing Story County's home-based business license because there's no real involvement from the county, that's fine. But then you have all these different components that have to go into it also. And depending on what specialty license it is, there's still a lot of moving parts. And in the case of your child's lemonade stand, personally, I would think common sense play into it. And if he's out there selling lemonade, I'll stop by and see if it's any good. If it's not good, I'm going to issue a citation. If it's good, I'm not going to bother with it. But there's so many moving parts to it. But I wouldn't be opposed to seeing the home-based business license fee go down. But keep in mind, there, even with the lemonade stand, if you want to truly follow the letter of law, there's a whole lot more to it. I mean, I've got the county license, I've got the permit from the Department of Agriculture, I've got the state license, you know, so tons of stuff. And yet there's people doing it all the time with zilch because they can. They're just doing it in a different manner.
Sure.
So
just out of curiosity, selling Girl Scout cookies, would that classify as actually a business?
I don't know that selling Girl Scout cookies would classify because you're doing it under the, as a member of the Girl Scout organization. If you were doing that as a, you know, main business,
sure.
You know, retail outlet for Girl Scout cookies, I don't know. But anytime you're dealing with food and beverages, you've got other components that come into it.
I'm just curious how far this could actually be, you know, the whole licensing could actually be stretched. But
well, you can run down all kinds of rabbit holes on this path. So might be best just to leave it as is and, you know, just let's start employing some common sense when it comes to
dogs lie.
Yeah. Yeah. Common sense when it comes to them lemonade stands.
Right.
And make sure you got good lemonade.
Well, I appreciate that input. You know, he was discouraged enough not to launch the business. And so I'll take that as anecdotal evidence of the impact. But yeah, you know, there are a lot. And I think that's why kind of my initial thought was not to touch any of the privileged licenses because they're special, right? They're different. They require something additional than just a piece of paper for the privilege of conducting business in the county.
Nothing else for me. That's all I've got.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment from anybody else talking about home-based business license fees or business license fees in general? One more time on Zoom. You can use the chat feature if you'd like to, or raise your hand. Or just press *6 and start talking. All right. I don't think we have any takers on public comment.
So let me ask this. It sounds like there's agreement that to look into the home-based business. I think fairly, you know,
easy part.
Yeah. Is there an appetite to ask staff to look into the legality? Again, I don't have any particular desire to lower our business license fees for those coming into the county to do business from out of the county. But I do feel there's a business community who may not live here as residents, but have chosen to locate their businesses here in the county, but have a general business license. Is there an appetite to look into the legality of potentially extending a lower license fee for that class of people, if you will?
I wouldn't support that as strongly. No, sir.
Okay.
I don't know that I would as well. I'd have to hear some other selling features as to why we would include, you know, C Street businesses, for example. The home-based one, like I said, I think is a pretty easy one. You know, hopefully the sheriff isn't getting called out. Hopefully the fire guys aren't getting called out, you know, fire inspections, things like that. But the C Street one, I mean, I'm always open to discussing anything. I would need probably a little more to warrant why we would reduce those fees.
Would it be appropriate to just look into the legality if it's something that we can even consider a kind of a split fee structure? Because if not, then there's no point in discussing it any further at all.
I don't have a problem looking for the legality. You know, I'm looking down right now. Just we're about to this next section 28,
right?
A through K.
Yep.
These are all business licenses. None of them reside here in Story County. And so I think we have to be cautious in what we're thinking about doing and revising that much, because I just question how many of the folks are actually residents here in our county.
I think maybe we have just one, the Performance Diesel listed at McCarran, but you're right. The majority of these are outside of
McCarran.
Right. And again, I think that I could be wrong. I may be misunderstanding the numbers here, but I believe that it would be a much bigger impact to our revenues if we were looking at changing anything with those coming in from outside the county. But every one of them has an address listed, and it's either in the county or out of the county. And so it seems like it would be fairly easy to segregate out who's here and who's not. But again, if there's not a strong appetite, I don't think we need to get into any sort of what ifs with that category of business before we know if it's even legal for us to look at a split fee structure. If it's not, no further discussion. If it is, maybe further discussion, but you know, it's not a done deal per se.
I can support that.
Austin.
Yeah, someone.
I do have one thing, County Manager Austin Osborne. If you're going to make a motion in this direction, I would ask you also direct staff to continue a fiscal analysis on this. Revenues that come from these business licenses, for example, are split. The VCTC receives revenues from all business licenses in Virginia City and Gold Hill. That roughly is about $7,450. Home-based businesses that are in VC Gold Hill going to the VC appears to be zero because they're not tourism related. They have to be tourism related business. So and there's plenty of those in town here that are not. So those are probably things that if you would like to be added to the next discussion, then just direct staff to provide fiscal analyses continued as well. Thank you.
The other thing I'd caution on that with staff is that what we're talking about doing here, we've got to be careful or we might be creating a $10,000 impact on something that is affecting $3,500. So yes, for studies, but I highly recommend that we do it with somewhat caution of financial investment.
Not going overboard on the study. Yeah.
No consultants.
Look at that attorney down there. You know, we got a lot of attorney fees that go down there. So just a quick overview would be probably fine.
Yeah.
This is Jennifer McCain. For the record, I'd like to pick what Austin said.
Yes.
You're coming in very choppy,
Jennifer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'd like
that is to not better.
I'll text it to Austin.
Sounds good.
Can you just call in?
She'll text it to Austin.
She what?
She said she'll text it to Austin.
Oh, okay.
So while she's getting that message in, I will point out that, you know, there is that complication that some of these fees do go to the VCTC. For me, that was not a huge concern because they regularly exceed their revenues on the tourism tax side, which covers the entire county, as well as on the bed tax, which is more specific to what they're doing. But you know, kind of a drop in the bucket. And again, looking at how we're no longer symmetrical in that, you know, the community here develops tax revenue and then it goes back into this community, but we're kind of uneven in where that revenue comes from. And so as long as their needs are being met, for me, it's less of a priority that they're met by something that's directly related to their act.
I do receive a tax.
Okay, Jennifer.
All right.
You, Austin.
This is on behalf of Comptroller Jennifer McCain, and she's right. When we're looking at this, she just said this will also include the fire district potential revenues. Is that memorandum of understanding between the county and the fire district is still under negotiation. Considerations could be made in this is regard how business licenses may be divvied up between what was going on at community development versus fire district. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. All right. So are we good to give direction?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think we have already kind of.
Do you need to make it an official motion?
I don't think there's an opportunity to make a motion here because I think this is a discussion only item.
Yeah, it's a no action item.
There it is.
Okay. So you hear us loud and clear?
Yeah.
All right. If there's no other, are you done with the discussion?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
I definitely want to thank Commissioner Mitchell for bringing this up and for those that engaged in the conversation. Much appreciated. I am closing my folder like we're done. We are not done. And so we will just wait to hear back when you folks have more information. We'll put it back on the agenda and we will keep people apprised of the scenario. So thank you. All right, moving on to item number 28, speak of the devil. This is discussion possible action for consideration and possible approval of business license second readings. This will be second readings A through K. Is there any public comment regarding the business license readings A through K?
Not seeing or hearing any public comment, Vice Chairman, would you entertain a motion for these business licenses, please?
Yeah, I move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed under item 28 as A through K.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. We are going to jump back onto the agenda to staff reports. We're going to kick off as we always do with the Sheriff's Office.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to the Fire Department.
Commissioners, Jeremy Lockhart for the record.
Yes.
Just a couple of little updates here is one Brush 72 that was down fighting fire down in New Mexico is going to be on its way back here, coming home. We do have an excavator that is in Arizona right now, and it's going to be moved over to that fire in New Mexico to perform rehab. Our draft strategic plan, we should have it done and to the board, and much the way Austin presented it as kind of a workshop, we'll do the same. So that is just getting buttoned up right now, as well as our district business plan that outlines everybody's additional areas of responsibility. And the last update I have is that we will be on a strike team rotation beginning June 13th. So our battalion chiefs will each, whoever's on duty, whoever's lucky that day, if they do call us up, they will take on a strike team of engines if needed. And those engines are composed from all the organizations around the area. And we have Matt Smith, firefighter Matt Smith, who serves on the Sierra Front Incident Management Team as a division supervisor, and he is currently on rotation right now. And that's all I have for an update, and I'll answer any questions.
Thank you, Chief. Commissioner Gilman, anything for the Chief?
No questions. Thank you, Chief.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Chief.
Thank you.
Moving on to Public Works. Jason Wersbicki. See you around.
Good afternoon. Commissioners, this is Jason Wersbicki for the record. Just to give you guys a heads up here on Thursday, we're going to be starting the 2022 road rehab project here in town. We'll be kicking off with some paving on Thursday, Friday, and Monday, and then slurry seal will be the second week in June. Not all I have, you know, other than we're crack sealing around town currently.
All right. Anything else, Jason?
That'll be it. That's it.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, any questions for Jason?
No question.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for the update, Jason. Project Coordinator, Mike Northan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northan, Operation Project Coordinator. First item, courthouse pavers. Curb blocks have now been set, which establishes the elevations and grades of all the pavers. This week, we're going to begin resetting and positioning stones. We're going to be working from the south end, going north. We'll work up to the concrete ramp, which will be formed and poured. And then after that, we'll be proceeding with the rest of the stones. Once all the stones are set, the surface grinding will start, which will provide a safe walking surface without being too slippery. Item two, Lockwood Tower Road and retaining wall repair project. Retaining wall has been repaired and the paving is going to start soon. We're looking at extending the paving up to the turnaround with some related work to the turnaround to make it more accessible to fire trucks and other large emergency vehicles, as well as looking at potentially dealing with the rest of the uphill portion of the retaining wall, which 3 years ago at the start of the design work of this project was in considerably better shape. Staff will be assembling those costs and timeframes and will report back to the board. Item three, the V&T Freight Depot here in Virginia City. The temporary work to the building is nearly complete. Stairs, guardrails, handrails, accessibility ramp are all complete. Exit signs have been installed over the exits. Electrical panels and wiring have been cleaned up and made safe. Trash removal is complete and a fire protection system is up and running. The fence will be removed in the next couple of weeks and we're down to some light cleaning inside the building and a bit of site work to pick up trash that's blown in there and some vegetation removal. At that point, I will schedule a walkthrough with the fire marshal and building inspectors to close out the temporary work to the building and open the depot for use this summer. And then last item, next week, I will be in Chicago all week at an NFPA design conference. So I'll do my best to monitor and manage these projects remotely. Probably rely on Director Wiersbicki for some of that as well. And with that, I'll take any questions, sirs.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike?
I do not. Thank you, Mike.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that update. And I did see it on our break. It is looking good down there on the stone thing outside the courthouse. Anyway, communications, Becky Parsons. I don't think she's on there. All right. Moving right along to emergency management, Laura Mather.
Good afternoon, Laura Mather, for the record. Happy to report that our COVID-19 cases in Story County continue to remain very low. For our last reporting period, we had one reported case. So good news on that front. That's the end of my report. Stacey York had to step off of the meeting, so I would like to give her update. COVID-19 vaccinations at the Story County, Virginia City Senior Center will be on Wednesday, May 25th, and Wednesday, June 22nd. Both vaccination dates will be from 3 to 4 p.m. End of report.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for either one of her identities?
No questions, thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that update.
Thank you.
Have a nice day. All right. Honey Menifee, Community Relations.
Good morning. I have nothing to report. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, honey. VCTC, Linda Ritter.
Getting unmuted. Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well. Can you hear me okay?
Good. Hey, this weekend we have the 39th annual Chili on the Comstock. So I want to invite everybody to come down and have some chili and craft beer. The street, C Street, will be closed between Union Street to Sutton Street starting at 6 a.m. on Saturday, going to 6 p.m. on Sunday. We're really excited. We have 27 chili cooks, so we expect to have lots of chili available for everybody. And that's all I have in my report.
Thank you, Linda. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Linda?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Linda. Hope you have a great weekend with the chili. Moving on to the Comptroller's Office, Comptroller McCain.
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. I noticed the assessor is not here. Move on to the planning department. Kathy Canfield.
I have nothing today. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Recorder's office. Marnie Anson Martinez. Fair enough. IT department. James Dean.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Just wanted to let you guys know that we're going to be launching our annual cybersecurity training this week. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Human resources, Gina Green.
Gina Green, just very quickly wanted to let you know that human resources underwent an audit by Pool Pact. It started about 2 years ago when Jan Chapman was still here. You approved some policies this morning. That was the last thing that we needed to complete. And so the audit is done and we will be granted a $500 grant for completion.
Great. That'll cover about 2% of your work.
Maybe.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jeannie. Any questions for Jeannie, Commissioner Gilman?
No questions. Thank you so much.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks. Moving right along, community development, Pete Renaud.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Sorry I couldn't be there today. I have a runny nose and not feeling too great. I kind of wanted to make an announcement that we've kind of reached another goal. We've taken in our first large format drawings and scanned them in our printer and approved a set of drawings over the counter this past week. Once we get into the Blue Beam this summer, we'll be taking house drawings and other residential projects over the counter so they don't have to go to another third party and source that stuff out. It's going to be great for the residents. I'd also like to note that Ashley and Krista are there in Indianapolis with Jennifer McCain. Thank you, Jennifer, for babysitting them for me. And also kind of a note to Austin that Pure Tonic, we're going to do their final Thursday. So the dispensary out in the park should be opening soon after that. And that's all I have for today.
Great. Thank you for that wonderful update, Pete. Full of good news. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Pete?
I love good news. Thank you, Pete.
Right. Vice Chairman, anything?
No, all good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that update, Pete. Hope you feel better.
Thank you.
All right. Moving right along to the DA's office.
Nothing to report today, Mr. Chairman.
All right. County manager.
Nothing to report today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Nothing. All right.
Just hasn't had much going on.
Yeah. And last but not least, our trusty clerk, Doreen Evan.
Doreen Evan, Story County Clerk Treasurer. I'm sure you're all aware of the error on the sample ballot. I want you to know that it has been corrected. The new ones will be mailed out tomorrow to all voters. What was left off was Senate District 16 and State Assembly District 40. We're not sure if it was because of the redistricting. We're still trying to figure it out. I want you to know that the official ballots that were mailed yesterday are correct. No errors on them at all. That's all I have.
Great.
Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Dory. Commissioner Gilman, any questions?
No, thank you, Dory.
I have just a question or two. Sorry. As you can imagine, there's some concern about this issue. And so I just had a couple of questions for clarification. First one is, do we know the notice that was published in the paper that included, I believe, the contents of the sample ballot, was that the missing those races?
Yes.
Does that throw us into any sort of issues as far as legal notification? Does that need to be redone?
I have put it out on social media. I mean, I guess that would be Keith. I
think you posted it on the county website.
County website, social media. The state has it. I believe they Twittered it.
Okay.
Put it on Twitter.
Okay. And then certainly, I think I know the answer to this, but I'd just like to, for the benefit of the public, overseas and military ballots, can you confirm the status on those?
Yes, because those were correct. They were correct. They were mailed out on May 5th. I do have the official ballots in the office if anybody wants to come in and confirm.
Okay, great. Yeah, it would be super helpful for me as I get questions, if I could have a copy of what was sent out. So just so that we have that. I don't know if you want to write void across it or something like that, but some way to make sure that it's not, something that I can show and say, this is what actually went out. That would be super helpful. Are there any other efforts? There's concern from some people that the corrected version that goes out of the sample ballot, I know a lot of people use that when they're voting, that people will throw it away, use the old one. There'll continue to be, are there any other efforts that we are undertaking, could undertake to try to make sure that we minimize any confusion in relation to that?
It says corrected sample ballot right on the, I even have a copy here and I put one in front of you. It says corrected sample ballot. Okay. I will have it at the polls also.
Okay.
Notices also posted.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for the update, Dory. All right, that wraps up our staff reports. Appreciate all the information from staff. Bringing us to item number 29, this is correspondence, no action. Letter from NDOC clarifying jurisdiction of State Route 342 between Devil's Gate and the Fourth Ward School, Gold Hill and Virginia City. Who is handling that?
Please. Sure. Okay, I'll go up there.
Okay.
Per your request, Mr. Chairman, I'll summarize what this is. So it's just correspondence. We've been working with the Nevada Department of Transportation, 10 years, to try to get jurisdictional boundary discussion and something in writing between Devil's Gate and Fourth Ward School on State Route 342. There has always been confusion, and the confusion has resulted in stop work orders to public works and county and private properties doing sewer work, water work, shoulder work, driveway encroachments, things like that. We've reached out to NDOT, especially District 2, which has really some great leadership right now and been very cooperative with the county and great to work with. Had multiple meetings with our team and NDOT's team and myself, and were able to get a letter from NDOT that is signed. And it says the jurisdiction is all of that land is owned either by Story County or in some cases by private property underlying ownership. Comstock Mining, for example, owns a portion where the new highway was created. Story County owns most of the rest. Where the oil is, the actual pavement, that is, according to NDOT, mostly a prescriptive easement. And then the shoulder along that side is part of NDOT jurisdiction. That means it's part of their permitting. It's part of what they do. It's their jurisdiction. And that shoulder is defined by the loose graveled area. It varies from point to point. If necessary, the letter even says that NDOT will come and actually stake out a specific area to show you exactly where that line is, where there's construction going on. This letter is going to help us into the foreseeable future for that issue. We believe this is a moot issue now and resolved.
Thank you, Austin.
You're welcome.
Commissioner Gilman, anything for Austin?
No, good to have it resolved.
Vice Chair?
Good, thank you.
Likewise, thank you, Austin. All right, item number 30 is the second and final option for public comments. If anybody has any public comment, now is your chance. Not seeing any public comment, we are at item number 31, which is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 12:31, and I'm going to call this meeting adjourned. See you all in a couple weeks.